so dream. When the day is through, dream, and they might come true. Things never are as bad as they seem. So dream, dream, dream.
Sense, 'cause you keep me in suspense and you know it. You promise to return when you don't, I really burn. Well, I guess I'll never learn and I show it. If you've got a heart and if you're kind, don't keep us apart, make up your mind. You're undecided now, so what are you gonna do?
Okay, welcome everybody to the Planning Commission meeting of Monday, February 10th, 2020. Please join me for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And we'll begin with the roll call of the Planning Commission.
Commissioner Fuller.
Here.
Commissioner Maynard.
Here.
Commissioner Sheeler.
Present.
Vice Chair Miller.
Present.
Chair Smith.
Present. Thank you. And just briefly, before we jump in tonight's agenda, I did just want to acknowledge that we have suffered a tremendous community loss last night. Yesterday, we lost two very precious members of our community, Mary Jane and Adolfo Corral. And there was a gathering just shortly before this meeting to honor their memory. But I know that it's impacting so many folks in our community tonight, and I just wanted to take a moment to acknowledge that. I also wanted to, our Vice Chair, Bob Miller, wanted to make a few statements.
Thank you, Jennifer. I just came from the gathering on Cathedral Oaks. There were 200 or 300 people there to share their love and concern for the family and to talk about Mary Jane and Adolfo and what outstanding people they were. As you may know, I'm on the Santa Barbara City College Board of Trustees, where I got to know Adolfo just a little bit. He was an outstanding person. He was loved on campus by so many people. He was the coordinator of the equity programs at the college, which included programs to benefit those who are underrepresented, those who come from lower economic circumstances. One of the programs involved running the food pantry, which provided free food to students in need. But beyond all that, he was a formal and informal counselor to hundreds and hundreds of students. And there's much grieving going on today at Santa Barbara City College, and this city is grieving. The outpouring tonight was unmistakable, that this has impacted this community in a profound way. This tragic death, which left four children, Azalea, age 20, Dahlia, age 17, Dominic, age 14, and Rose, age 10, as well as Adolfo and Mary Jane's parents, brothers, and other relatives. So I'd like to start, maybe we just had a moment of silence in their honor.
Thank you for your comments. Hard to know how to proceed, but we will proceed. Okay, moving on to our next item. We have the election of our Planning Commission Chair and Vice Chair.
All right, thank you, Madam Chair. And I just wanted to add, my wife worked very closely with Adolfo at City College, and she was deeply impacted by that too. So this is something that we're all grieving over now. Regarding the election of the Planning Commission Chair and Vice Chair, the way we would normally proceed is to have take nominations. We can do the two officers one at a time, beginning, if you like, with the chair. And Madam Chair, if you like to run the proceedings, you can accept nominations and then vote.
Okay, yes, I will accept nominations. My understanding is the tradition of this body has been to rotate the positions. I believe we have some factors that we're considering in regards to that rotation. So I welcome the commission comments.
If I might say something.
Yes.
Yeah. I don't know if everybody knows, but I am. I thought you should know before we get into this process that I'm leaving the Planning Commission. I submitted my resignation subject to the City Council finding a replacement. I did that about a month ago. So I just thought that should be known before we elect officers.
Yes.
Given that, I would nominate Bill Sheeler for chair and Katie Maynard for vice chair.
I'll second that.
Any other comments? Commissioner Sheeler.
Sure. It is my turn, and so I'd be glad to accept that responsibility. Someone's just going to have to show me how to run that
business. Certainly, absolutely.
I'm honored for the vice chair nomination, and thank you for that recommendation.
Okay, so I'm hearing support. So we had a motion.
Yeah.
Do we have a second?
Yes.
If we have a second, okay. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All right, it is unanimous. Well, and Bob, we just wanted to thank you for all of your service and continued service until a new commissioner is found.
Let me just say before we go on that I have enjoyed serving on the Planning Commission. After 3 years, I'm starting to learn more and more things. I don't know if in 10 years I'd learn all I need to know, but I think each meeting I tend to be a little smarter, I think. But I decided that I was recently reelected president of the Board of Trustees at the college, and I find that position has demanded more and more and more of my time. I found that I've missed more meetings than I would like from the Planning Commission, and I never feel good about that when I miss a meeting. And so I just decided it was better for me to resign, and hopefully for the City Council to find somebody younger, somebody who wants to get involved in the community, and somebody who can serve for a long time. I've been told that they've been advertising. I haven't seen the ads, and they apparently don't have any responses yet, but I have offered to stay on the commission until a replacement is found. So the process this time will be different than it has been in the past, when I think each of us were appointed by an individual council member. The entire council is doing the approval under the mayor's direction.
So, Commissioner Smith, I guess I can say, Chair and Commissioner Smith, I'd just like to say on behalf of the city, thank you, Commissioner Miller, for your service as well, and especially for your service over the last year with all the work on the new zoning ordinance. We're really grateful for all you contributed through that process and the many other projects that you've reviewed. I don't know the exact status right now of the search. I know that our city clerk is working with the mayor to identify appointees, and I'm sure we'll get an update in due course. And I understand that you've graciously offered to continue to serve until we have found a replacement.
Yes. Thank you very much for those comments.
Commissioner Sheeler.
I echo those comments also, and I would also like to include acknowledgement of the work that Chair Smith did over the last year, particularly with some pretty intense, grueling zoning ordinance hearings, and I thought you did a great job.
I'll second that.
Well, thank you. It's been a pleasure. Although I'll happily pass the torch. So I guess we'll go ahead and do our seat shuffle now.
Yeah.
I think you and I
Oh, did we switch, maybe? Okay.
And our clerk will change the nameplates.
Okay, welcome back, everybody. We'll continue the Planning Commission meeting for February 10th. And next on the agenda is the public forum. Is there anybody here who would like to speak on any issue that is not before the Planning Commission agendized for this evening? Seeing none, we'll go ahead and close the public forum. Are there any staff, are there any amendments or adjustments to this evening's agenda?
Chair, no, there are no amendments or adjustments to the agenda this evening.
Okay, thank you. If the clerk could please read the administrative agenda A into the record.
Item A1 is the Planning Commission minutes for the Planning Commission meeting of January 13, 2020.
Thank you. Does anybody have anything, any comments they would like to make regarding the minutes? Is there a motion for approval and a second then, please?
I would move to approve the minutes of January 13th, 2020.
Second.
Okay, Smith and Fuller. All in favor, please say aye.
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 Thank you very much. So we'll move on to the next item, and that's Administrative Agenda B, which is a discussion and an action item. Madam Clerk, could you please read that into the record?
Yes. Item B1 is the General Plan, Coastal Land Use Plan 2019 Progress Report.
Thank you. This is actually a resolution, so we'll be receiving a presentation for staff from staff on this. I know this is sort of an annual event, and this is really an interesting look. We've been spending so much time on the zoning list to take a closer look at the general plan and the coastal land use plan, which kind of everything is derived from, is nice change of pace. So who would like to lead us in the staff report on this?
Chair and Commissioners, Jay Ritterbeck, Senior Planner in Advanced Planning, will give the presentation tonight.
Okay, thank you very much. Mr. Ritterbeck.
Thank you, Chair, members of the Commission. As you rightly noted, this is an annual event. We are excited to work with the rest of the city departments to compile this report, which then we present to the Planning Commission as well as the City Council. By law, the city is required to provide this annual progress report to the Governor's Office of Planning and Research, as well as to the Department of Housing and Community Development. This report provides the state and the City Council, all the city's decision makers, as well as the public, a status update of how we're doing with the general plan, discusses any of the changes that we've made to it, as well as giving a detailed discussion describing our progress in meeting the goals that are stated within the plan in the specific policies. And then at the end of each element, there's implementation actions. And that's really what's discussed in this annual report, is how we're doing on those implementation actions. A key component of the plan centers around housing. So there's always a lot of discussion. Pretty much the meat of that report goes to how we're doing in our housing. Specifically how it relates to our regional housing needs allocation, or referred to as the RENA numbers, and how we're meeting affordable housing, as well as tracking and reporting other types of housing construction that has occurred over that year that's being reported. So these reports are due to the state by April 1st. So it comes to the Planning Commission with a recommendation to the City Council, and then with their approval, that's what's submitted to the state by April 1st. Since adoption, there have been a total of 22 general plan amendments since it's been adopted in 2006. For last year, in 2019, there were four amendments that were adopted. One for the transportation element, which occurred early in the year, I believe it was January. The cannabis and accessory uses, which was in April. Hollister Village apartment project, that was in May. And then the housing element, we did a very recent amendment on that, which included the inclusionary housing into our inclusionary housing policies. Again, that was in December. We also had one initiated amendment. Again, that was the rental inclusionary that was initiated and adopted rather quickly. We have three developer-funded amendments that have been pending, and you've probably seen that in prior reports as well, and that's for the Shelby Trust, Kenwood Village, and Heritage Ridge, two of the first two of which are land use designation changes, and the last is an update to the ESHA, or Environmentally Sensitive Habitat, designation. And those are pending because they're waiting for water allocation. So they've been sitting complete, but not being processed because they can't meet that requirement of having adequate services. So in the next series of slides, I'll pick a specific implementation action or two within a number of the nine elements, the nine different elements that are posted at the bottom of this slide, and highlight some of the more notable accomplishments that the city saw last year in 2019. So the very first implementation action in the general plan is that discussing the preparation and adoption of a new zoning code and map. This would replace the county's zoning code that we adopted when the city incorporated in 2002. Then throughout 2017 and 2018, staff continued working on the revisions to the new zoning ordinance from prior hearings and workshops and public input, and that resulted in a public release of the new draft on January 31st of 2019. And that began a whole new round of public outreach, which you may remember. Throughout 2019, there were numerous public workshops, open houses, stakeholder meetings with individuals as well as groups. And then at the end of the year, nearing the end of the year, with the recommendation from the Planning Commission, staff took the draft new zoning ordinance to the City Council, where there were three adoption hearings that were conducted, being continued, and then those were also continued then into January. And we're expecting to return within this month and possibly have it adopted within the next month or two, if everything goes well. And we answer all the questions that are being asked very thoroughly, discussed during the hearings, and we're very optimistic. So for the open space element, implementation action number four calls for the preparation of a park system master plan. In January of 2019, City Council adopted the Parks, Facilities, and Playgrounds Master Plan with some recommendations for some edits. Implementation action number five speaks to the preparation of individual park development and/or management plans. Beginning in 2008 and continuing through that year, advanced planning staff worked with interested parties to monitor the eucalyptus grove and habitat area in the Elwood Mesa to refine the development of a final plan for managing and monitoring that site. The final monarch butterfly habitat management plan was completed in early 2019 and adopted by the City Council in March of 2019. This is now going to be administered by the Department of Public Works after we had obtained our coastal development permits from the Coastal Commission. Advanced planning staff was able to hand that off to the Public Works division or department for implementation. Other very notable accomplishments related to open space was the March grand opening of Johnny D. Wallace Neighborhood Park, and then the October 2019 ribbon cutting ceremony that was behind the Goleta Valley Community Center in the field, the athletic field, that's also next to the Goleta Valley Boys and Girls Club. So both of those, the neighborhood park as well as the athletic field are currently open and being used and enjoyed by the public. Within the conservation element, implementation action number 3 calls for the city to participate in a multi-jurisdictional watershed management plan where that is appropriate. This broader discussion and view of watershed management understands that the ecology, water quality, drainage, flood control, all of those address all of those attributes of creeks that flow through the city of Goleta begin really outside of the city, so that that multi-jurisdictional cooperation is a key component of a successful plan. In June of 2017, the city adopted a strategic plan, which included a goal of developing this plan and budgeted $200,000 towards that effort. Coordination to kick off the creeks, creek and watershed management plan started in 2018, and a consultant was selected in June of 2019. Field surveys, public workshops, technical advisory committee meeting, those have all occurred in 2019. And there's additional public outreach and involvement that's planned for 2020. Staff's expecting to return to the Planning Commission, City Council, sometime later this year with a draft of that plan to present that. Next, we're going to discuss the safety element. And this includes a requirement for annual safety audits of oil and gas facilities that are located within the city. So the city staff participates monthly in a an oversight meeting that occurs at the county. This is just so that we can maintain a little bit of oversight, so we know what's going on with the Elwood Onshore facility, although the state has assumed all regulatory authority. So it's just a way for us to know what's going on and make sure that the levels of safety that we expect and that are part of those permits that the state should be implementing, just that we're in that loop and making sure that everything's being followed and that our citizens are safe. Again, the Elwood Onshore Facility, or EOF, as it's commonly referred to, is the only facility within the city that's currently being operated. That was previously owned by Venneco, which went bankrupt in April of 2017. And the state operates that facility as well as Platform Holly and all the wells that were associated with that. As for the EOF itself, the audit last year was completed in September, and work continued to plan in 2019 the eventual plugging and abandonment of those 421 piers, and that occurred in December. That was started in December and was finally finished in September of 2019. Began in December of 2018, finished September of 2019. So there was a presentation by state agents, the State Lands Commission, and they had presented their expected timeline, which included the final disposition of those two piers, 421 piers, and that they expect to have those, the determination of what's going to happen with those sometime this year. Also throughout this year, they're going to be plugging and abandoning the remaining wells. There's 30 of remaining wells that are associated with Platform Holly, and that will continue through 2020, 2021, and also during that time, they're going to be preparing the Environmental Impact Report, or EIR, which will examine what the final fate of the Platform Holly will be. So that, you know, that'll be a few years down the road, but that should be, they're drafting those documents or beginning to draft those. So staff will end up having an opportunity to comment, as well as the public and Planning Commission. We expect to have more meetings with State Lands as well. Moving to the visual and historic element, action number 4 calls for the creation of a historic preservation board or committee that would promote and assist in identifying and preserving Goleta's unique heritage. So beginning in 2017 and moving through 2018, there were a number of public workshops where public input was received in order to develop this historic context statement, which really provides the framework for how the city approaches evaluating anything that from a building to trees to any other historic feature. It's that framework on how we analyze and evaluate and rate the historic significance of those elements. City staff returned to the commission in January of 2019 to present a revised context statement, and that the Planning Commission gave some input and direction for some additional revisions. The draft ordinance language currently is being prepared and should be returning to the Planning Commission for consideration sometime later in 2020, this year. Once completed, that historic preservation program can be developed a little further, adopted by City Council, and at that time they would be deciding what department or new division or new committee would be actually implementing that plan. Next, within the transportation element, action number 2 discusses the city's capital improvements program as well as its budget. In 2019, we had a total of 62 projects that were identified in the CIP, and that had a budget of just over, just under $16 million. As you moved through the city, you would see very visible improvements, including 18 traffic circulation projects, 18 of those, 13 park projects, and 12 other types of facility projects. Some of those included the Johnny D. Wallace Neighborhood Park, that also included a short segment of the San Jose Creek bike path. So a short segment of that's already completed, and there's additional work this year that's being moved forward on that. So again, you should be seeing some additional projects for that bike path this year. There were flashing beacons for pedestrian park, pedestrian crosswalks near Johnny D. Wallace Park, as well as on South Kellogg. There were sidewalk and bike lane improvements along Fairview Avenue north of the Goleta Library to finally get that connection where the two lanes were widened, and then the bike path and then sidewalk improvements. So it really met a need of a significant gap in pedestrian bikeway through that area. Then lastly, we'll discuss the housing element, and we'll begin with housing element 1.3 and move through 2. Throughout the entire element, there are many policies that aim at creating, monitoring, or preserving affordable housing, and to facilitate its development, and have as wide of a range of housing types as possible, just to cater to as many different segments of the population as possible. The city also continues to work with developers as well as nonprofits to look for creative ways to get revenue and to use revenue to encourage the creation of more affordable units throughout the city. You may recall in the draft new zoning ordinance that a number of these types of housing units were discussed, and they included not just single family housing and duplexes, but there's live work units, multifamily units, farm worker housing, group housing, single room occupancy, as well as the accessory dwelling units. So we're really trying to, have a very diverse housing stock created within the city. We also are going to be continuing with our density bonus program, as well as our inclusionary housing programs. And again, that inclusionary housing was expanded to include rental housing, which we believe is going to be a real big improvement in the city and help again with those RENA numbers for us. While there were no changes in 2019 in our accessory dwelling unit ordinance, the state was very active in drafting legislation through 2019 to change that law. And by the end of the year, the governor had signed into law a number of those. City staff had monitored that throughout the year, so we were prepared to act quickly with the help of the city attorney's office. We also were able to get something pretty quickly put together and presented to decision makers in the city, and the city council ended up adopting an emergency ordinance, which mirrors the state law, and then the follow-on standard ordinance will be going into effect shortly as well. And city staff maintains vigilance in monitoring the state to make sure that we stay on top. Program HE 5.1 states that the city will monitor progress towards housing objectives and refine programs to reflect changing circumstances and better achieve city goals. So with the city's RENA allocation for 2014 through 2022, there were a total of 979 housing units at various income levels that were given to the city. Those were incorporated into our housing element, so you'll see those numbers reflected in the general plan. At this point, the city has issued final occupancy to 851 new dwellings as part of this RENA cycle. This includes 7 at the moderate income level, 75 low, 4 at very low, and 1 at extremely low. And the remaining are at the above moderate level. And these numbers are reflected in Table 4 of the annual report. Throughout 2019, we continued to see significant construction continue in the larger housing developments. There are two large housing developments that remain. The Winslow, which included 175 townhomes and several live-work units, were a part of that, as well as 14 affordable units. And the other one was the Village at Los Caneros, with 465 total units, 69 of which were at the affordable level. Rentals, so they didn't count towards our RENA, but they still are there serving the population. That had occurred before we made that general plan amendment to have those included. But they themselves included some affordable in that. Those are all built and occupied now. So the city and the developers are pretty proud of that. So for 2019 specifically, we saw 114 new housing units constructed and also given final occupancy clearance. Of that 114, 113 of them were at the above moderate income level, and 1 was at the low income level. There are less than 100 units remaining to be constructed in those larger developments that are occurring throughout the city, and approximately 650 units at various income levels that are currently in the project review, application review process. Those include the Cortona, Heritage Ridge, Shelby, and Kenwood. And then staff, we checked in a little bit earlier today to get an update on ADUs, and there are approximately 8 applications that are currently in and being processed for those. And those go straight to building in many occasions now, so they don't pass through planning and development or planning environmental review. So we will keep abreast of those. In our discussions with HCD staff, we are in a good position to count those in our RENA cycle. So some of those lower numbers that you'll see that the numbers changed for last year, that was due to us being able to count some units in the past that were that we ended up gathering data. So we're going to be submitting a revision to the state to make sure that we're getting full credit for those in those lower income categories. So we're moving really, we had some pretty empty cells there for a little while, so we're moving in the right direction, and we're really glad that we were proactive in how we were gathering rent information to have those data available to, if challenged by the state, like, why are you counting it at this level? We have those data so that we, you know, it's defensible. So just in summary, overall highlights for last year, those 4 GPAs related to transportation, cannabis, Hollister Village, and rental inclusionary. something that you all were a big part of, 27 separate open houses, workshops, and hearings for that draft new zoning ordinance. A huge milestone was reached for the recommendation vote, and hopefully another large milestone when that's adopted by the City Council. The adoption of the City Parks Facilities and Playgrounds Master Plan. Adoption of the Monarch Butterfly Habitat Management Plan. A refocus on Old Town Goleta with several completed projects and many additional ones that are in the planning stage or getting ready to be underway. And if you follow our banner on our front, on our city's webpage, you're seeing a lot of project. I think it's senior analyst James Winslow has a lot of cameos on videos on that. So there's a lot of work being undertaken in Old Town, and city's staff's very excited about that. Our CIPs, that capital improvement program, the projects to improve the function and circulation of the bikeways, the railways, roadways, as well as just the overall appearance of the city's streetscape. As we say, you know, railways, because we have the train depot is picking up steam, pardon the pun. And lastly, the continued development of specific plans or master plans, such as the Creek and Watershed Management Plan, the Historic Preservation, as well as the Hollister Avenue Complete Streets. So a lot underway, a lot accomplished in 2019, and that concludes staff's presentation for this update, unless there are any questions from the commission.
Thank you, Mr. Ritterbeck. I really appreciated the report. It was succinct and very readable and gave a lot of information in not a lot of pages. So we're to the point now where does anybody on the Planning Commission have any questions of staff?
I guess I did have a few questions.
Yes, please.
I just wanted to bring to light, I had emailed a few questions to staff before the meeting. One question, in the report, there was an update on, the report highlighted the importance of mobile home parks in our community, and they play an important role in terms of housing and low-income housing. And there was an update on Rancho, I think, mobile estates. And I was just curious to know the current status of that, because I know that it was supposed to be converted into condos and there's been litigation. And so I was just, in terms of, or you know, what's public information?
So, sure, Chair and Commissioner Smith, I can address that. The, mm-hmm. the Rancho La Goleta Mobile Home Park has a map that is ready for final approval by the council. There are a few last odds and ends that are being worked out, but we expect that recordation, that the approval will happen shortly in the next, likely in March. I understand our Public Works Department will be bringing that forward. Thereafter, it can be recorded, and then there is a development agreement with the subdivider that requires certain actions. Specifically, there are actually a long list, but one of the major provisions of the agreement is that it will allow the tenants at the mobile home park to have the opportunity to acquire the units that they're in, assuming they meet income eligibility. So that's one of the things that we'll be then establishing. We'll be doing appraisals of the units as required by the agreement and offering assistance to the tenants there on the process of obtaining financing and acquiring those units.
Okay, great. Thank you for that update. I know that all of that has been ongoing for a long time, so I appreciated that update. And then the other question I had was on the affordable housing map. There was a couple items that were just highlighted in yellow, and I had noticed that Willow Springs, it mentions that it says to be changed to affordable units when development converts from rental to ownership units. And I had first been a little confused by that because I thought, oh, isn't that rental? So I didn't know if staff could just clarify that.
Chair and Commissioner Smith, though this is an owner, this is a for sale project, and I don't know the exact status of the affordable units. I believe that there is a outstanding dispute underway and litigation between the city and Winslow that hopefully will be resolved soon and arrive at agreement on some of the terms of the sale of those units, including the price at which the units would be sold.
Oh, and I'm sorry, just to clarify, too many W names. Not the Winslow. I do see Winslow is also highlighted, but Willow Springs.
Oh, I'm sorry. Excuse me. Willow Springs is an owned project as well, so that was permitted as condominium units. The owner, Tobes, has elected to rent out those units at this time, but it could, if it so chose, sell those units.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah, that was interesting. I hadn't realized that. I know that I've only been on the commission shorter than others, but I thought that was just an interesting observation. Just because those units therefore haven't been sold as affordable units, so even though they've been rentals. But anyways, just an observation. So thank you for that. And then just in general, in looking at, obviously there's been a lot happening in our community, and I think Goleta can be commended in terms of that, you know, we're continuing to provide housing to the community. But it's also clear from looking at the numbers in the report that developing or incentivizing the development, I know the city creates the zoning, and we can try to incentivize the creation of actual units as much as possible, but the creation of the units at the lowest income levels continues to remain a challenge. And we're in the final half, I suppose, of our element. So I didn't know if staff just wanted to comment briefly on some of the incentives that we have to try to incentivize or encourage those units. I know we've recently adopted the inclusionary ordinance for rentals, but some other aspects, what are some other ways that as a city we incentivize those units?
Sure. So that the housing element, at the heart of the housing element, of course, is the generation of the production of affordable housing, and incentives are part of that. And if you'll recall, we talked a lot about incentives as we worked on the new zoning ordinance, and some of that was driven from our housing element. And it's challenging when you start to get into the weeds on incentives. We did carry some forward. If you recall, there are some parking incentives for multi-unit development. Then there's some small-scale unit incentives. And then, of course, there's density bonus. So we have a whole chapter in the new zoning ordinance on density bonus. But incentives don't just reside in zoning. They're also grants and financial assistance are a huge part of incentives. So we also partner with other agencies to incentivize affordable housing, and that's a big part of what we do, and also an entire policy is devoted just to collaboration with other agencies and nonprofits.
If I may add to that, Chair and Commissioners, there's another change that's underway. I think Ms. Wells' answer was complete, but I wanted to make you aware that we're very focused on this issue as well, and we have suggested, and the Council will be considering, I believe on February 18th, a reorganization of the Planning Department to include a new division and a new full-time staff member that would be devoted to affordable housing implementation 100% of the time, recognizing this the various responsibilities with respect to maintaining our existing inventory of affordable housing and creating new affordable housing and managing in-lieu housing funds is something that has been spread between different departments up until now and really deserves a single-minded sole focus, and in many other cities is incorporated into a community development department that has responsibility for affordable housing implementation and delivery, as well as just the pure planning function. So that's something that the council will be considering. It's something that we at the staff level support and think is a good idea. It makes a lot of sense for a number of reasons, and it's very timely given the focus of the state right now on the housing crisis and the need to really devote time and attention to it. And I'd be happy to talk about that in more detail, but there are a number of outstanding work items that we've identified and that the housing element call for, not least the development of a comprehensive affordable housing finance plan that would look comprehensively at how we use and apply and leverage available funding to deliver new units and to preserve existing units and rehabilitate existing units. So that if those funds are used creatively and sagaciously, I guess I would say, we can leverage them to create new units working with affordable housing developers and partners.
Great. Wonderful. Thank you for that update.
Commissioner Maynard?
Just a direct follow-up to that, which sounds an amazing plan, so I'm really excited to hear your update. Would that new position also include grant writing? So there was sort of some planning around finances, but would they also be able to write some new grants to support that?
Chair and Commissioners, yes, we would certainly be looking at that and looking at all sources of funding. There is hope that the state is not done yet in its conversation around what was Senate Bill 5 that was the passed both houses of the legislature last year, but that was ultimately vetoed by the governor, that would have provided significant additional funding to local governments for construction of affordable housing. There's hope yet that something can be crafted that will provide significant additional funding, whether through a grant process or just by allocation to cities, that will then allow us to really deliver on the state's mandate for new affordable housing.
Any other commissioner questions at this point?
I just had one one final question.
Yes, please.
Oh, and then I was just curious. I know we have both the general plan more broadly and then the housing element, but when does the whole general plan process start anew again? It's getting, we're slowly getting closer in time.
Chair and Commissioner Smith, I think you're referring to the housing element update process.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So the housing element update process will begin this year. The Santa Barbara County Association of Governments anticipates getting the RENA number from the state, and that then sets in motion a process for dividing up that allocation of housing need among the member jurisdictions, the eight cities, incorporated cities, and the county itself. That's a process that I'm intimately familiar with, having led that during the last cycle. It is a complex and involved one, and it's made more complex now because the allocation of housing need has to be consistent with the regional transportation plan and the sustainable community strategy that has to hit certain greenhouse gas reduction targets. So, in fact, the planning directors of the cities and the county will be meeting later this spring to begin that process at SBCAG's invitation, and I'm sure I'll have something to report back on that. But we will be working through the factors and the methodology that govern the allocation of that process, and we have every reason to expect that we will be asked to accommodate more housing, that the regional housing need identified by the state will be higher than it was in the last round, where we received the RENA number at the low point of the recession. That's where we are with that process. The current housing cycle ends. The housing element period ends in 2022. It's an 8-year cycle. So by that time, we will have to have a new adopted housing element that accommodates the share of the regional housing need that the city of Goleta is asked to absorb.
Commissioner Fuller?
Thank you. And thank you.
So I was just wondering, doesn't the state require us to resubmit the general plan for certification at some point in time?
Correct. Chair and Commissioner Fuller, we do need, once we go through a local process of developing and updating our housing element in a way that accommodates the our share of the regional housing need, then we do need to submit that to state housing and community development. They'll look at that, and we would seek certification of the updated housing element.
So, but just a general update to the general plan, isn't there a cycle for that? I mean, outside of the housing element?
For certain other elements, but nothing with the same prescriptive power as the housing element.
Okay. But we still, I mean, so there still will be a time when other elements of the house, of the general plan, the state is going to want us to, take a look at. Am I correct?
Yeah, periodically we have to look at the other elements and update them, and there are some that are on deck or on our list of things to do, but they're not going to have the same prioritization.
Okay, but do you know what those will be or when those are due?
We are bringing, I am working right now on on our next annual work program, which will include a list of possible activities for, in particular, the Advanced Planning Division. That's going to be going to the council, I believe, on March 19th. So the council will have the opportunity to weigh in on what those priorities are. I know on that list is an update of the circulation element, as well as our housing element process, where the housing element process is mandated, but the circulation element is not. There are other things on that list, like an update of the climate action plan. We also have initiated now a general plan amendment of the conservation element, at least one policy, and we will also be working with the Coastal Commission at an informal level, discussing with them comments that they have about the local coastal program, which may in turn trigger updates of certain elements of the general plan, at least within the coastal zone. I don't know if Ms. Wells wants to add anything to that. Are there other general plan elements that we need to update on a set time frame that you're aware of?
Oh, thank you, Commissioner Fuller. I believe that, I don't believe, I remember. Our general plan has addresses build out through 2030. It's not a 2030 per se general plan, but approximately to 2030. That was the vision for build out. That's the other thing that we do is we, track our vacant land, and we're about, we started in 2006 and we're about where we thought we would be in our build out and growth. So when we get a little bit closer to 2030, we'll look at, a complete possible relook at our land use patterns and our transportation system and kind of go back into the nuts and bolts of our policy document. But I think we're good for a few years and at least while we're implementing the policies of the general plan.
Thank you.
Commissioner Miller?
I would like to echo comments. This was a very well-prepared document. I think it's a good reference for all of us to have, for those who are going to stay, to look at our history, our recent history, and where we're going and where we are at the moment. So I would be recommending this document to be read by my replacement. I think it's an excellent document. I'd also like to comment that on the proposal for a dedicated staff on affordable housing, I think that does sound like an exciting prospect and something that I think will be very valuable for the city. I have one final comment of administrative. I don't think the pagination works. If you look at the, it seems to be off by about 10 pages. For example, just to give you one example, table 4 is identified as being at page 49, and it's really at page 57. And if you look at all the others, they're all a little off. So it may be you want to double check that before it goes on to the city council.
Thank you. We'll take a look and correct that.
We don't want to give them any reason to find error.
Yeah, I'll just comment. I wasn't sure if some of the pagination was as it's prepared sort of for our binder and our report versus the internal document
itself? I'm assuming
itself.
It's something like that. I just, sometimes we have two-page numbers, and I thought, well, maybe, but I only saw the one-page number, so.
We'll take a look at that and clean it up before it goes to City Council, along with any other clerical errors and typos that we may catch.
Commissioner Fuller.
Speaking of which, on page 13, are we still going to expect the Heritage Ridge project to come before us sometime in 2019?
Chair and Commissioner Fuller, I don't think we have a date set yet, but we are continuing to work with the applicant on that project, and I believe
that's the last line in the first paragraph.
Yeah, I think...
So we might want to change that to 2020.
Right.
Okay.
I don't have the exact time when that's going to come back, but...
Well, we're talking about, you know, errors, so, yeah.
Thank you.
Any other commissioner questions of staff? Not at this moment. I just wanted to add two things to the discussion. One was what strategies can GLEDA employ to try and develop housing that is affordable? And staff mentioned several things. One thing, in addition, that we just recently talked about were accessory dwelling units that has potential. And then I had a question for Mr. Imhoff. Do the RENA allocations precede the information that comes from the census?
Yes, they do. I think we're going to get the number this year sometime in the summer, and that will be well before the federal census results. The RENA numbers are based on regional growth forecasts that are done by SBCAG and by Department of Finance, and under state law, the two are compared. And it's rather technical how they get to the number, but those independent regional growth forecasts are the basis for the regional housing needs allocation.
Okay. I do have several questions, so if you folks will bear with me for a minute. This brought back a lot of information, some things that I remembered and some things that I didn't. One has to do with the land use element. And it talks about sphere of influence and that being submitted, a request being submitted to LAFCO. And LAFCO, since LAFCO established sphere of influence did not reflect the city's request, the city may choose at some point in the future to prepare and submit a sphere of influence amendment request consistent with direction in this implementation action. What sphere of influence was in the city's request that LAFCO didn't agree with? What was the city attempting to do when they wanted to expand their sphere of influence?
So back in the day, I think it was maybe 2009, we submitted an application for a sphere of influence that's consistent with the area that's identified in the land use element of the general plan. So we can't ask for a sphere of influence that's different than what's in the general plan. So we went, and that was it's like the South Patterson area, or is, because it's still in the general plan where it's the potential sphere of influence. And then some of the North Fairview area. Some of the residents in the North Fairview area spoke out against that being in our sphere of influence. Of course, that's not an annexation, but we were, as you noted, denied, and our sphere is clipped at our city limits.
Okay, thank you very much. I guess that's something that the city council might consider at some point in the future. On page 20, it talks about the habitat restoration at the Elwood site. And I know that as part of the Equal Fowler project going through, there was actually going to be some habitat restoration at the Elwood site. Do you know when that's scheduled to commence?
Chair and commissioners, I know that that it's happening in phases, and the restoration of the North Grove has been permitted now by the Coastal Commission. We received the permit back in October of last year. I don't know when our Public Works Department intends to move forward with that. There may still be conditions that have to be met on that permit before they can proceed.
Okay. I'm moving now to visual and historic resources element, and I apologize for bringing this up again, but this has to do with story poles. And I know we talked about this during the zoning ordinance, and I'm not sure exactly where we landed, because as I'm reading the summary, it talks about consideration of additional and more specific story pole visualization symbolization procedures could be considered. So we've got consideration and considered there twice after adoption of the new zoning ordinance. Who would bring this back for additional discussion and maybe implementation action? Is that the city council that would follow through with a story poll?
Chair, yeah. Chair and commissioners, in the new zoning ordinance draft as it stands now, there is provisional language that was suggested through public comment by Cecilia Brown that the council directed be incorporated, again, as a provisional matter so that there are minimum story poll standards in place. However, design guidelines and fully developed story poll guidelines are still on our list of things to do in the annual work program for the current planning division. I think it's at the top of the list right now in the current planning division. And again, I would invite you to at least observe, if not participate in, the annual work program process so you can see where that is. But if you look online on our website at the 2019-20 annual work program, you'll see that on deck in the current planning list of things to do. And it will also be a potential or new project for the current planning division in the draft that we bring to the council for this year. It's not something that we've been able to get to given the press of other business, but it is next up.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate hearing that. I think that's important, so I'm comforted to know that. I'm not talking to, I'm referring to the housing element, and it's talking about conversion. Let me go ahead. I'm going to skip that one, actually. This talks about mitigation of employee housing impacts on page 40, and it says the city has not yet begun an affordable employee housing plan. And just as you're referring to, there's a lot that has been done and a lot that still you'd like to accomplish. And you just mentioned one thing that has high priority, and I was just wondering, are there affordable employee housing plans that have been successful elsewhere that the city can somehow emulate? Can the city really provide an affordable employee housing plan and actually call it out as specifically for residents and people who work in Goleta?
Currently, we implement this policy by requiring that new non-residential development contribute a payment into our affordable housing trust fund, and we've not used those monies yet. We're slowly collecting them, and they will be that the new housing planner that Mr. Imhoff was referring to will be working to leverage those monies and also to develop a more comprehensive plan that's suggested in this implementation policy.
Mm-hmm.
And we haven't developed the fees yet, the specific fees that would be collected that would be addressed in this plan. And that's something that's on our to-do list as well.
Okay. And that leads into what I was going to bring up next was the issue of in-lieu fees versus building the affordable units on site. Who makes that decision as to whether in-lieu fees will be encouraged and acceptable versus somebody say we would really prefer that this project build on site?
Chair and commissioners, the housing element addresses that, and the housing element does require that housing be built on site. That's the stated requirement. So it should be an exceptional circumstance where we accept in lieu fees in lieu of affordable housing built on site. Ultimately, it would be the city council that would have that call. Of course, or it would be the decision maker for a given project that would make that call with the potential for review by the city council.
Okay, it just seems in the past the decision has been to accept the in-lieu fees rather than to build on site. So that's a city council decision. I'm now moving to housing element 4.2, resource conservation and existing and new residential development on page 50. And it says retrofitting of existing residential structures to reduce energy consumption and cost to owners and tenants is encouraged. Is it possible to go just beyond encourage, but to actually stimulate interest by maybe offering a reduction in permit fees for people that put photovoltaics or?
Chair and commissioners, it is possible, and we have not forgotten about your request to bring back an update item on the strategic energy plan and climate action plan, and that is something we will be returning with to talk about in more detail. also to once again refer to the annual work program. Our sustainability program has a REACH building code on its to-do list, among other things. And one of the things we have requested of council, and that council will be considering as part of a mid-year budget on the 18th, will be an additional planner for the sustainability program that will help us to move forward more expeditiously with a lot of the sustainability program work. So that's hopefully something we can get to sooner rather than later, and we will be prepared to talk about how those rules can apply to new development and what, you know, what is on the books and what remains to be done as far as not just encouraging but actually requiring these kinds of features in new development.
Well, that's a good segue to, I think, my next to last question, which is that, as I recall, the Title 24 made new residential have to be solar ready, but now beginning the year that we're already in, it needs to be actually solar installed. And I'm just wondering if these new design standards have been shared with our design review board, because it would seem that the city would want to work with applicants to do whatever that can be done within the design standards to maximize the solar photovoltaic output, and so that the design review board, when they're looking at applications, they're keeping that in mind as consistent with the city's strategic energy plan.
Chair and commissioners, the city did adopt the updated building code last fall, and it is now in effect. We have not, to my knowledge, specifically shared that with the design review board. That's something that we could do. Of course, rooftop solar by itself is not something that's subject to any discretionary process by state law. It's a ministerial approval automatically. As part of a larger project, perhaps the design could be discussed, but it's not something that typically would be part of the design review's review authority because of the expedited permitting that rooftop solar receives. But we can certainly alert them to that. That's a good idea, so that they are at least aware in the design of structures that for residential, they can expect that solar be integrated and make sure that there are south or west facing sloped roof surfaces, et cetera, so for anticipating that.
Yeah, thank you. There's no harm in bringing it up, and there's some bright people on that board who can work with applicants maybe to move that forward. And then the last thing I wanted to mention, it's Table 2, residential units completed in 2019, page 55. And we've already talked about the numbers and how pretty much everything fell into the above moderate, which my understanding is what 120% to 200% of area median income. So in that case, is there really a thing called market rate housing, or is that actually taken up within the above moderate, or is market rate 201% and above of area median income?
Market rate is unrestricted, and what we call workforce is the equivalent of the above moderate, which is the, I believe it's 120% of area median income.
So everything that was built is considered workforce housing and nothing is market rate.
Well, I don't know the status of these units, whether they're restricted units or not. I don't think that these are restricted units, in which case, effectively, they're market rate. And I see that Mr. Ritterbeck is nodding yes.
Okay. Well, thank you for letting me ask those questions. I do want to acknowledge staff for this report. I remember a while back when I first started, and I asked a lot of questions, and Ms. Wells had to answer a lot of questions. And I sort of apologized at the end, and she said, no, we appreciate it when you actually read our report and give us feedback. So I've always remembered that. So thank you very much for that. So we've asked our questions, so I would like to go ahead and open the public hearing. And Madam Clerk, do we have any speaker slips tonight on this resolution?
No, Chair Sheeler.
Okay. Are there any last questions from the Planning Commission before I close the public hearing? Okay, don't see any. So I'll go ahead and close the public hearing. So we're actually in deliberations. Would anybody like to make any comments before we get to a motion? No? No comments? Okay, then let's go ahead. And we do have a resolution here. would anybody like to make a motion and to forward to the Planning Commission? Commissioner Maynard?
I make a motion to adopt resolution 20-underscore entitled A Resolution of the Planning Commission of the City of Goleta, California, recommending to the City Council approval of the General Plan Coastal Land Use Plan 2019 Progress Report for submittal to the Governor's Office of Planning and Research and California Department of Housing and Community Development.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Is there any discussion? On discussion on this? Okay, let's go ahead and have a vote. All in favor, please say aye.
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 Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, that passes 5-0, and that's being passed on. I guess the City Council will be hearing this in just a matter of weeks as well. So thank you, staff, for putting this together. Appreciate it. Madam Clerk, what's next on the agenda, please?
Next item is the Director's Report.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Inhofe.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have a number of updates, upcoming dates. First of all, our next meeting on the 24th will be canceled due to no items for consideration. So our next Planning Commission meeting will likely be on March 9th. We have a holiday coming up next Monday on the 17th for President's Day. Then on the 18th of February at the City Council, there'll be a number, well, there'll be one significant planning item. The new zoning ordinance will return to Council for action on first reading. And if the Council acts as we believe it is ready to do, then the new zoning ordinance would return for second reading on March 3rd and become effective on April 2nd. On February 26th, there is a Creek and Watershed Management Plan workshop scheduled at the Goleta Valley Community Center from 6:30 to 8, and everyone who's interested is encouraged to attend and participate and give input on the scope of that important plan. As I mentioned, then March 9th is our next PC meeting. And as I mentioned during the discussion of the last item, on March 19th, we anticipate the council workshop for next fiscal year's annual work program for this department, which will include the prioritization of new and potential new work items for the different divisions in the planning department.
What date was that again?
That's March 19th, okay. And I believe it's 4 to 7, if I'm not mistaken, here in the council chambers. There will be a draft annual work program and staff report released in advance of that date. Then also upcoming is our community, our State of the City. The community State of the City address is on April 13th from 6:30 to 8 at the Goleta Valley Community Center and is free to the public. We also have a State of the City luncheon hosted by the Goleta Chamber of Commerce on usually at the Bacara on April 16th. At 11:30. Also, I wanted to alert you that our scheduled Planning Commission meeting date of April 13th will likely be canceled due to the conflict in timing with the State of the City on April 13th in the evening. So we will determine whether we need, if workload demands it, we could ask to schedule a separate special meeting with the Planning Commission, but at this point we don't anticipate the need to do that. Finally, I wanted to alert you that the tablet computers that we hope to distribute to you have arrived and are waiting. There are some formalities and training that we need to take care of first, but you'll be hearing more from our management assistant, Kim Dominguez, about the status of that. So be on the lookout for emails in that regard. And that concludes my report.
Thank you, Mr. Inhofe. Any final planning commission comments?
Yeah, I just want to say it was a pleasure to serve with Commissioner Miller. And his input and time has been greatly appreciated over the years.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Thank you.
Pleasure's all mine.
Okay, a motion to adjourn. And
so moved.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right. Good evening, Goleta.